Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. In the New Testament section of our Red Bibles, on page 1 and on page 2. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say today. Amen. Matthew 1, verse 18. The birth of the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. Matthew 2:13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." This is the word of the Lord.
I got a question. Have you ever had to make a decision? Hands up if you've made a decision, all right? All right, you got a lot of hands up, that's good. Have you ever had to make a decision and you're not sure why you had to make that decision? And you're not sure why you chose to do it, and yet somehow you knew that it was the right one to make, even if you didn't know what the consequences would be? Hands up, anybody have to do something like that too? All right, a little bit less. Have you ever decided to do one thing because it was the right thing to do, but then something happens that leads you to change your mind? A little less hands, a little less, all right. We all have made choices in life. And I'm sure we could spend the next 15 or 20 or hours and hours to talk about the choices we've made. For me, the most recent big choice that I made was to move out here to Evanston. Now, I had to make a choice to move out west from North Carolina. I had to say goodbye to the life I knew and enjoyed down south, all for the taking of this job out here in Illinois. Now, anybody else ever have to do something like that? Leave a place to go some other place for work or something like that? Yeah, a couple hands. And you know, when I did that, it was hard. And when I arrived here, I felt like a little bit of an outsider. I felt like a little bit of an exile. Now, a basic definition of an exile is perhaps, or a refugee, is getting up and going to a place you didn't expect to go. Now, in my case, I had to trust God. I had to answer God's call upon my life, but it wasn't so easy to do. But a choice presented itself, and a choice had to be made. I made a decision, and here I am. And so I want to open this sermon, and I want to keep this question in your mind for the rest of this morning and the rest of this day, all up into Christmas, into the new year. What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? This is not just as individuals I ask this question, but as a church. Where is God calling us? How is God calling you to make choices in your life? It comes down to this, perhaps. Who are you going to trust in 2018? I think it's a fair question. Our scripture this morning revolves around a silent man who made some very loud choices, and a loud man who made some deadly choices. Joseph, at times, is the forgotten man of Christmas. Mary carried the baby. Jesus is the baby. But Joseph is just a guy who doesn't say much. Actually, there's no place in any of the four Gospels where any word of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, is recorded. In the passage we just heard a few moments ago, Joseph did not say a word, but he had several choices to make. Choices that would have severe consequences for himself, for Mary, and for all of humanity. In the passage for this week, we hear the story of how Joseph found out that his wife-to-be, Mary, was pregnant. It's a scandal, because the kid was not his son. And Joseph would have been within the full rights of the society in which he lived to have Mary killed for adultery. That's true. But Joseph decided he wasn't going to do that. Joseph, scripture tells us, was a righteous man. So he was going to spare Mary shame and take it upon himself and divorce her quietly. She was pregnant before they were married. That was the right thing to do. But then Joseph had a dream. In the Bible, Joseph doesn't say words. He has dreams. And in this first dream, the angel tells him to marry Mary. The angel tells Joseph that the child to be born is from God. And Joseph will name him Jesus, God saves, because Jesus will save God's people. This baby, according to the dream, is Emmanuel, the promised one, God with us. That's what the dream said. Joseph made a decision. Joseph was told of a promise, and he chose to believe it, and he acted in what can be called radical obedience. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, and he watched over the baby after it was born, and he gave him his name, Jesus. And then he assumed responsibility for the safety of this boy and his mother, accepting Jesus as his own son. And his world was turned upside down, completely upside down. The baby was born, the wise men came, and then another dream, perhaps a more disturbing dream. Get up, take the child, take his mother, and run. Herod's coming. After Jesus was born, Matthew's gospel records that King Herod was so disturbed by the news of a potential rival, of a rumor of a newborn king of Israel born in Bethlehem, that Herod ordered a preemptive strike, executing all boys in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. This is the story told in verse 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 2. Since its earliest centuries, Christians have remembered these holy innocents who were murdered because Jesus' coming posed a threat to those in power. Herod heard of the coming of the king, of the Messiah, and he rebelled. He rebelled against God and tried to have him killed. But Herod could not kill God. Instead, he chose to kill innocent children. Power always lashes out at those who challenge it. The Presbyterian Confession of 1967, in its section, The Sin of Man, defines sin like this, and it sounds very much like Herod. In sin, people claim mastery of their own lives, turn against God and their fellow human, and become exploiters and despoilers of the world. They lose their faith, they lose their humanity in futile striving, and are left in rebellion, despair, and isolation. That's sin. We sin. Herod sinned. So perhaps we can understand what's going on with Herod. He is a man who rejects God and gives into sin, but we're still left with the massacre of the innocents. But you can't explain away this passage. We as Christians know that in the end, God will win, but right now, the Herods of this world rage against the coming kingdom of God. And the innocent suffer. We see this every day. But we also, if we have the eyes to see, we also see the consequence of Joseph's choice. Unlike Herod, Joseph said yes to God, and God is with us. Joseph woke up and he had the decision to make. Now, you can't make decisions in dreams. Once dreams come to an end, choices have to be made. Once dreams come to an end, choices have to be made. Joseph had a decision to make. What was he going to do? No matter what he did, he was going to decide something that would bring hardship into his life and to make his life more difficult. He either stays in Bethlehem, continuing to raise his family while risking Herod's wrath, or he uproot his family and flee into exile just because a dream told him to, because of a dream. How many of us would change our life because a dream said to? Sometimes we forget that Joseph did not ask that his wife Mary be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. He was asked by God to deal with the consequences of Mary's unexpected pregnancy, and he was promised that things would work out in the end. Joseph was asked the sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Joseph led his family into exile into the unknown, for the sake of God. Heading into unknown territory is scary. It is. Joseph could have said no, but he didn't. He trusted God. Now, if Joseph did this, why not us? Huh? Why not us? Week after week, we hear told the promises of God at church. Are we just going to sit here and talk about God this coming new year? Or are we going to live like Joseph, as though the promises of God were true, as though the coming of the Christ child actually matters to us and how we live our lives? Now, we Christians, some of us at least, we're really good about talking about our faith. Some of us do it every Sunday, right? God invites us to stop simply talking and make the decision to live for Him. What would it look like in our lives if we made a decision to trust God and trust in the promises God made to us? The world would be turned upside down. It would be like accepting an unwed mother into our own family and loving her as our own wife and raising her baby as our own. It would be like getting up and leaving your home and heading into exile, to head into a strange place because it is there that God is calling you to go. It is like a church not knowing what its future may be, but knowing that God is present all the while and acting on faith. We do this. We do all of this by trusting God to keep His promises. We trust that God's Spirit is doing something new in the world, calling us to something new, just like He called Joseph. But Joseph could have said no. He could have. We can say no to God. But like Joseph, we can also trust God and walk forwards towards a strange land, Egypt, where God is calling us to go. This is an Advent sermon. In Advent, we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. We prepare ourselves for Christmas. Now, we come to church, especially at Christmas time, to hear again the promises of God in these familiar old stories, which for some are like old friends and family members that you look forward to seeing year after year. Christmas isn't just a single day. It's a season. It's a season that begins with the expectation of Advent and leads us to Good Friday, the cross, and then ultimately to the empty tomb of Easter. God promises that He will be with us and for us. Joseph decided to trust God, and so do we. That's what we're invited to do at Christmas, at Advent, at any time in the church year. God asks us to trust Him. And what we do in faith is step out, grab His hand, and say, yes, Lord, I will follow You. The promise of God, the promise made to us, is that because of Jesus, we do not have to bear the pain of our brokenness, the sin that leaves us separated from God. This is an Advent sermon because as we look to the coming of God in Christ, we do so with eyes open. We know that the world won't automatically be made whole. We know that Herod is still out there. We know that we might have to pick up and go into our metaphorical Egypt, that whatever it might be, whatever that might look like, we may have to answer the call of God, and it will take us to places we might not want to go. But we also know that God is with us, no matter in what way we may find ourselves. Even if we have to pick up and go to Egypt, even if we have to leave everything comfortable behind as individuals and as a church and head into new, strange lands and places and ways of doing things, God is with us no matter what. Know that this promise of God is true and that this promise of God is for you, First Presbyterian. And so we walk towards Egypt, looking for the promise of God, eyes open for the kingdom, remembering silent Joseph. And although we may be afraid, we trust God and in his promises. As we walk into the new year of 2018, saying goodbye to what was for many people a horrible 2017, may we do so with the confidence of Christians, knowing that because of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. Jesus saves. That's the story of Christmas. And it's all thanks to that choice that silent Joseph made. Amen.